All right, brethren, let's go to Psalm 89. I want to read this again. These psalms are our Lord speaking and the true fulfiller of every word. And this is Christ speaking here later in the psalm. We won't get to it today, but later he's still suffering the cross, even as he was in Psalm 88. But in the midst of this, he says in verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Drop down to verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand. High is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David. And you can put Christ there. And when you find David in this psalm, if you read it as Christ, you'll get who's speaking and to whom and about whom. I found Christ my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also, all God's elect, will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. David was a type of Christ. God the Father entered into everlasting covenant with his Son. That's typified in the sure mercies of David. God made some sure covenant of sure mercies to David. And that's typical of the Father entering into covenant with the Son and giving him sure mercies. And Christ is the one in whom all the covenants accomplished. He's the one who came forth and accomplished all the terms of the covenant. He's the King who David typified. Christ is God's firstborn. Romans 8 says, God predestinated his people to be conformed unto him that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Colossians tells us he's the firstborn from the dead. Hebrews 12 tells us his people are the church of the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn. And Christ sings to his church of the mercies of the Lord. He sings to his church of the mercies of the Lord. He says in verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Christ sings of the Lord's mercies. Christ is the great psalmist, the sweet psalmist of his elect Israel. He's the one who declares to us the mercies of God and teaches us the mercies of God, and in whom we behold the mercies of our God. Psalm 22 we know is a psalm of Christ, and he said in Psalm 22:22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. In the midst of the congregation, in the midst of his church. through the preaching of the word. He's singing the mercies of God. Are you sure that's Christ? Look over at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, and look at verse 10. He said in verse 9, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for each of his people. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ is the one singing of the Lord's mercies to us through his gospel. And the Lord's mercies include everything included in our salvation. The Lord's mercies is how his people are saved. It includes everything in the everlasting covenant of grace made between God the Father and his Son in eternity. Everything included in that covenant of peace are the mercies of God to his people. By God choosing his Son and choosing a people in his Son and trusting his Son to fulfill all of the covenant for his people, for God, that was God's mercies. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he chose us in Christ, because he trusted it to him. And in him, his people have always been without blame, holy and without blame before him in Christ the Beloved. That's mercies. That's mercies. And everything involved in this thing of salvation is the mercies of the Lord. He predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That's the mercies of the Lord. That's the mercies of the Lord. His justification, his sanctification accomplished by Christ's blood is all his mercies. His calling us to him. His giving us life and faith in him. This is all his mercies. Growing us in grace and knowledge of Christ. Keeping us, preserving us. Teaching us continually of him and his tender mercies. This is all the mercies of our Lord. He said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. You think about mercies. Mercies, by the very nature of mercy, is God doing for his people what we do not deserve or merit, even what we demerit. It's all mercies. All mercies. That's the very nature of mercies. And until a sinner is made to know he's a sinner and what that is, until he's made to know that, brethren, he will not rejoice that God saves entirely according to his mercies. God creating a new nature in us so that he can teach us in the new man that all we are in our flesh is sin. And all our good works and all our religious deed was nothing but enmity against God, hating God. Until we're born anew, we don't even know we hate God. And it's all until he, and that, creating that new man and teaching us that about ourselves, that's mercies. It's all mercies, brethren. And we see the Pharisees, how they thought that they were righteous within themselves and they despised others. Why? They didn't know a thing about God's mercies. They didn't know that they were sinners. They didn't know what a sinner is. They didn't know they were sinners. They didn't think they needed mercies because they didn't see they were sinners. The Apostle Peter was regenerated. He was a believer. And we see how easily we can forget our need of mercies. Peter told the Lord, these other disciples may deny you, but I will die with you before I'll deny you. I love you more than all these other disciples. The Lord permitted the devil to sift Peter. Hard trial. Pride of Peter's sin nature had overtaken him and deceived him. And Christ had to show Peter again what he was in himself. Oh, what mercy. That was mercy. And then the Lord came to him and converted him from the error to see that all his mercies are in the Lord, and the Lord was showering him with mercy to teach him that, keep him ever mindful of what he was in himself. That was the Lord Jesus coming to Peter and singing of his mercies to him. And that made Peter sing of the Lord's mercies. And then he says here, Christ makes known the faithfulness of the Lord. He says there in verse 1, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Lamentations 3:23, great is thy faithfulness. We begin in faith, rejoicing in God's faithfulness as a doctrine, divinely revealed by God's word, revealed in our heart. We believe. Great is God's faithfulness. We believe him. We believe him. We rejoice in his faithfulness from the beginning. But over time, through many trials and temptations and sorrows, just like Peter experienced, through experiencing the weakness of our sinful flesh and our sin nature and our self-righteousness, over and over, the Lord continues to teach us his great faithfulness toward us. And he makes us experience it, just like Peter experienced the Lord's faithfulness. And then we know by experience, great is thy faithfulness. The more the Lord makes us experience his faithfulness and his mercies, the more we delight that we're saved by God's faithfulness and his mercies fulfilled in Christ by his everlasting covenant of grace. The more you rejoice in him alone. God's mercies and his faithfulness is in Christ due to God's covenant in Christ. It's all due to God's covenant in Christ. The everlasting covenant that God made with David is the covenant God makes with each elect child he saves. Isaiah 55:3, he said, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God made a covenant with David, the man. He made this everlasting covenant with sure mercies. And he says to every sinner that he calls, come to Christ, believe on Christ, cast all your care on Christ. He said, I'll make these same sure mercies with you, the sure mercies of David. When it came to David's last words, that's important, the man's last words. It came to David's last words. He said it was that everlasting covenant made by God that was all his salvation. All his salvation. David did some mighty good works. He defeated enemy armies. He brought the ark back. He reigned as king over Israel. But in those last words, David didn't mention any of his works. David committed some mighty wicked sins. David numbered Israel, and I think it was 80,000 Israelites died because he did that. He had multiple counts of adultery, murder, many seasons of unbelief. None of those discouraged David in his last words. With his last words, he declared his only hope of salvation. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Now, how was that covenant so ordered and so sure in all things? How was this covenant so ordered and so sure? It wasn't by David. We know that clearly. How was it so ordered and so sure? How was that all David's salvation? Why was it all David's salvation? It's because God the Father's mercies that he promised to David were sure to David and sure to all who believe, because the everlasting covenant is between God the Father and God the Son, and God alone fulfills it. The mercies are sure by Christ accomplishing our salvation. They're sure by Christ. God's everlasting covenant was to Christ. God the Father made an everlasting covenant with his Son in Christ, with Christ. Sure mercies to Christ. Sure mercies to our King David, the Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus promised the Father to fulfill all the covenant for his people so that his people would have these free, sure, ordered mercies given to us through faith in Christ's blood. Let's go over to Acts 13. I want you to see that David is a picture of Christ who fulfilled the covenant for his people. Acts 13 and verse 32. Let's begin in verse 30. Verse 32. I'm sorry. We declare unto you glad tidings. Here's the good news. This is the gospel. This is the good news. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers. You see that word promise? This is the covenant. This is the covenant. The covenant that was made to the fathers. Made to Abraham. Made to David. God hath fulfilled the same. You see that? We declare unto you good news. The promise which was made unto the fathers. God hath fulfilled it. He's fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it's also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. He's speaking to Christ. I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. You see, he's showing us that all these psalms are speaking of Christ. David's a picture of Christ. It's to Christ he made these sure mercies. It's through his blood that these sure mercies are made to his people. Look, he says, verse 35, in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. David, the man, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption. His body went into the grave, and it was eaten by worms. God shall give him a new glorified body, but David didn't arise from the grave. But look at verse 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Why did God raise him? Hebrews 13:20 says, The God of peace brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He fulfilled everything. Look at verse 38 in Acts 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Here's the result. Here's what he says to you who believe. Through this man, through Christ, through our King David, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, this is the sure mercies of Christ Jesus that he gives his people. This is why David said, this is all my salvation. By him, by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That means past sins, present sins, and sins you hadn't even committed yet. Justified before God from all of them by Christ dying in the room instead of his people. Now watch. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wander and perish. For I work a work. The work Christ worked, he worked it. He finished. I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Oh, we don't want to be found there. All who Christ entered covenant to save, he redeemed. He justified by his blood. Before God, they're without sin. They're perfect. They're complete. They're righteous. It says, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Having purged our sins, having accomplished it himself on the cross, he entered into the presence of God. It was done. Long before we knew anything about it, it was done. When he arose, his people arose in him without sin, perfect, complete, righteous in him, and they shall not perish in unbelief. Those he redeemed shall not perish in unbelief. They cannot perish in unbelief. They shall be brought by the Spirit of God to put all their confidence in Christ alone. In this sure mercy that Christ accomplished. In these ordered, this covenant that's ordered and sure in all things by Christ. And they're going to be saved entirely by those covenant mercies fulfilled and freely given by Christ. Now that's my subject, covenant mercies. Covenant mercies. The Lord God said in verse 2 of our psalm, mercy shall be built up forever. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto Christ my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and built up thy throne to all generations. You see, it's almost confusing to us when we read about the eternal God making a covenant with himself. Because he's speaking about what he will do for himself. And what he accomplished for himself and for his people. God the Father built up his mercy in Christ. And his mercies are built up forever. He's the firstborn chosen of God in eternity to build up mercy for all his elect people chosen in him. Christ is God's mercy himself. He is the mercy of God. Our Lord Jesus is. God's covenant is Christ. He promised from the garden as soon as sin entered, as soon as Adam fell. He promised this promise from the garden. He said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. He promised this from the garden. Every promise of mercy that God made to our spiritual fathers was in Christ. Every promise that he made was that Christ would do all their saving and save them and be their salvation. That was the promise he made to them. And a sure mercy promised was full forgiveness of their sin, perfect righteousness with God through Christ's blood given to them through faith, and he even gives them the faith. Abraham was saved by God's everlasting covenant. He's called the father of the faithful. He was saved by God's everlasting covenant mercy. The sure mercies of Christ Jesus our Lord were given to David. And that's how to Abraham. And that's how Abraham was saved. And Paul said in Galatians that law that came 430 years later, it didn't disannul that promise. That promise was sure in Christ. It was all accomplished in Christ and by Christ. As his surety, Christ came to him and told Abraham, it's all ordered and sure for you, Abraham. I'm going to save all mine elect, all your spiritual children, and you're going to have a spiritual family that's more than the stars of the sky. And by his grace, Abraham believed God. He believed the word spoken to him by our Lord. Zacharias sang of the Lord's mercies. Whenever our Redeemer was coming into this world, he said God sent his son to perform the mercy that God promised. Go over to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 67. He said, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake, as he promised, by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Back there starting in the garden, through all the prophets, he'd been promising Christ would come and save us by his covenant grace. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. He promised to perform the mercy to the, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, should be called the prophet of the highest. Christ is the highest he's speaking about there. Christ is the mercy God promised to his people. Christ has built up mercy forever. He's the holiness and righteousness of his people so that we can walk before God without fear. Without fear. He hasn't given you the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's given you the spirit so that when he shows you our sin, you can go to him and pour it out to him. And confess your sin to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. In Christ, his elect are blessed, and they shall be forever. Every mercy for fallen sinners is in and by Christ, and it's only in and by Christ. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. That's God the Father's promise to Christ. That's God's the Father's promise to his people in Christ, and that's Christ's promise to the Father and to his people by Christ. Throughout the ages, just like in our psalm, he gave his people assurance that Christ would build the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. What is that? He keeps saying that he's going to build up the tabernacle that's fallen down. Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I'll raise up his ruins and I'll build it as in the days of old. What is this? This tabernacle that's fallen. The fallen tabernacle is his people. The fallen tabernacle is his people that fell and were ruined completely, thoroughly, totally in Adam, so that we can't put our hand to the work. Thank God for his grace, we can't. But Christ said, I'll build it up. That's the promise God made. Christ will build the tabernacle. He'll build it from the ruins and create it anew. The fallen tabernacle, the desolations of many generations, that's God's elect in every generation, ruined by Adam's fall, that Christ builds up. There's only two covenants. There's other covenant. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made covenants to David. Made a covenant to David. But there's only two covenants. And men, all men are going to be found in one of two covenants. God made a covenant with Adam, and he said, do this and you'll live. You eat of that tree, you'll die. That was a covenant of works. And Adam broke it, didn't fulfill the covenant, and he died. And all Adam's children died in him. The whole tabernacle was ruined in Adam. All his people fell in Adam. The other covenant was made with Christ. It really came first. It's the covenant he made in eternity with his son before the world was made, and Christ promised to represent all the elect God gave to him. And Christ came forth and fulfilled that covenant. Christ alone restores the desolations of many generations. Those desolated by the fall, he restores by his blood, by his covenant promise, by his righteousness. In every generation, he's restoring his people. And he takes his people and he builds us up as his holy temple. And it's his temple. It's his temple. Christ is the one who builds it up. That's what God the Father promised. That's what he promised. Look at verse 3. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto Christ, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and built up thy throne to all generations. This is Jehovah's purpose of redemption, founded in his everlasting love for his son and for his people in his son. Everlasting love. There's nothing about this that can be undone. There's no blemish that can be had in it. This is his promise, assured to the elect in the council of peace between the persons of the Godhead before the world began. That's how he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Brethren, you do not want to be found. No sinner, you do not want to be found looking to anything you have done for acceptance with God. Not before he calls you or after he calls you. Christ Jesus is the righteousness of his people. He is the covenant who's fulfilled all for his people. He's building his people up, and when that last living stone is put in the temple will be complete. And his throne is for everlasting. Everlasting. We want to be found only in Christ. Throughout the scripture, the Lord's eternal purpose of redemption is spoken of being between him and his son. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. He said there, then thou spakest in vision to thy holy one and said, I've laid help upon one that's mighty, I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I found my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my servant, and with my holy oil I've anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. You see that? Mine arm also shall strengthen him. This is a work between God the Father and God the Son. Look down at verse 27. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also, that's his people, will I make to endure forever in his throne as the days of heaven. How's this be? How's this going to be that his children are going to last forever? Christ came forth and fulfilled it all. Isaiah 49:8. He said, in an acceptable time, he's speaking to Christ. God, the Lord Jehovah, speaking to Christ, his son, and he says, thus saith the Lord, in acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation I've helped thee. When was that acceptable time? When he cried out and said, it is finished. That was the acceptable time. And that was the day of salvation. He heard his son. He said, you're going to establish my covenant, and I'm going to help thee. When he had finished the work his father sent him to do and redeemed all his people and purged our sin and honored God's holy law, then the Lord raised him from the grave as he promised. And he said, and I'll preserve thee, and I'll give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. I'm going to take this desolated inheritance that I've given you, that you've made perfect and complete, and you're going to build them all up and make them perfect and complete. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all deep places. This is that hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is, you know, when David wanted to build him a house, the man David, he wanted to build him a house, and the Lord said, you're not going to build me the house, David. He said, your seed's coming. He's going to come through you, and he's going to build my temple. Who is he talking about? You're talking about Christ. You're talking about Christ. He said in 2 Samuel 7:12, he said, when thy days be fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I'll set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I'll establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. And that's what he did when he bore our sin on Calvary's tree. God looked upon him as the one who had committed iniquity, because he owned our sins as his own, and God poured out his judgment on him in our place. He said, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That's Christ. He's God's mighty arm. He's the strong hand of God, that high right hand. He's the one who made justice and judgment meet together. He made mercy and truth meet in harmony, and he's the only one that ever did it. Only one. You're a liar, so am I. We come forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. We're not honest about our sin. We are to God by his grace. By his grace. But he made mercy and truth meet together. And he saves in mercy and truth. And whatever's preserving his church and preserving his kingdom, he'll bless it. He'll bless it. And he says, and whatever enemy tries to destroy it, I'm going to destroy him. He's going to bless his people. And if you don't delight in mercy, God, have mercy on you. Because you're going to need mercy. If you want judgment, that's what he'll give you. But his people rejoice that he made mercy and truth meet together in harmony. This is what he said in verse 15. Happy is the people that know the joyful sound. Do you know the joyful sound? Is this message, is it joyful to you? You, your brethren in Christ, are complete, perfect, righteous, accepted of God. He says, there's no spot in you, my beloved. Oh, they'll walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And he'll keep us walking in the light of his countenance. Just like he did the widow. He'll keep us seeing he's the light. He'll keep us coming to that light. He'll keep us doing truth, confessing all our works are wrought in Christ our God, by Christ our God. He's going to keep you walking in the light of his countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Oh, brethren, he's our strength. Verse 17, thou art the glory of their strength. In thy favor our horns shall be exalted. He's our defense. He's our holy king. Verse 18, the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our king. And we're his children, and this is his promise to us in Christ. Verse 29, his seed, Christ's seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. How long are the days of heaven? No beginning, no end. I'll make my children endure as long as the days of heaven. Oh, he says, I'm going to correct them in love. He's going to correct us in love. What is the correction, brethren? What is the correction? It's to keep you looking to Christ and finding him to be all your salvation. It's to keep you helping one another to look to Christ be all your salvation. It's to help one another by his grace through the word that he uses you to speak to be restored to Christ. It's not to kill. It's not to cast out. It's to point one another to Christ so that together. You ever heard the story of the man, his children were feuding and they were fussing and the man said, he took a bundle of sticks. And he gave him a bundle of sticks. And he said, break these sticks. And they took those bundle of sticks. And they tried and they tried and they tried. And they couldn't break them. And he said, now let's separate them. And he separated them out. Gave them all a stick. He said, now break it. They broke it right in two. He said, you need each other. Together, Christ will see to it you're not going to be broken. Separated, you're going to be broken. You're going to be broken. And this is what he's doing. He's keeping his people united in him. He's building the temple. He's building the tabernacle. He's making us one in him. And he's going to be our defense and our strength and keep his people together. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. What this world does, let them do it. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds. This is what he's going to do in his people. My covenant, verse 34, will I not break nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. If you know your sin, that's the most blessed word you ever heard in your life right there. God said, I won't alter my covenant. Listen, we just don't see the magnitude of this. Adam murdered everybody ever born in the history of the world. You don't talk about a serial killer. He murdered everybody on the face of the planet. And God saved him. You know why? My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to Christ, my son. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Oh, that's a joyful sound. Thank God it's so. Amen.